In the Alive Bible Study by Lifeway Women, you'll spend 5 weeks walking through the basic fundamental beliefs of the Christian faith. This is the perfect Bible study for a new or growing believer who wants to learn what it means to walk out your faith as a part of the body of Christ. Through this study, you'll understand the meaning and importance of historic Christian practices like baptism, prayer, worship, the Lord's Supper, tithing, missions, and more. Whether you go through this study with a friend or use it as an outreach tool in your community, you'll be challenged to endure and leave a legacy of faith behind. Learn more at lifeway.com/alive. That's lifeway.com/alive. This is the Marked Podcast from Lifeway Women. Each episode, we'll talk about what God is doing, how He has and is marking each of us. We're so glad you've joined us today. Hello and welcome to the Mark Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Heineman, and I'm here with a special guest co-host today, Laura Magnus.
Hey, thank you, Laura, for having me back.
Great
to be here.
So Laura's been on our podcast before. She is on our Lifeway Women publishing team. And Laura, I'll just let you explain very briefly what you do, so that way if people are hearing your voice for the first time, they know why you're here.
Yes, thank you. I am an editor on our Lifeway Women Bible study team, which just means that I get to work one-on-one with our authors and help them craft their studies and deliver their content and help them sound great and make sure, you know, that we're being true to scripture and all of those fun word things. So that's what I get to do on that side. And then sometimes pop in here with you.
Yeah, so it's so fun.
It's great.
And today we're going to be talking about a Bible study that Laura edited. And we're going to be talking with our friend Blair Lynn about this study. Hello, Blair.
Hey, it's so wonderful to be here with you guys.
We're so excited
about talking about Alive.
Yes. So this study is like a collaborative effort. It has a lot of Lifeway authors, a lot of authors outside of Lifeway. It's one of our Lifeway Women studies, if you're familiar with those, like Devoted and Grateful and our Advent studies. So, but Blair was one of our contributors, and we've had Blair on our list of guests for a long time. So this seemed like the perfect opportunity to bring her on the podcast. So Blair, tell us about yourself and your ministry.
Yeah, so I currently live in Portland, Oregon. We've been here for 1 year. Never thought I would live in Portland, so this is all new and all for our family. We moved here from the East Coast, so we've been on the East Coast for 13 years.
Wow.
I've been married. It'll be 14 years in July to my husband, Shai, and we have three kids who are 12, 9, and 8. And I have the privilege of being able to communicate eternal truths through a variety of means. And that looks like teaching, authoring books. I have done spoken words since I was 9 years old. And so I just am so privileged to be able to have these gifts and to be able to use them for the sake of building up the church. So that's really my heart. Yeah.
That's so cool. I wish I could be a spoken word artist. That would be like a dream job. A dream skill, I guess, is a skill to have.
Find Blair on the internet and listen to her spoken word. It's amazing.
It is.
Oh, thank you, guys.
No, I was going to say, so like we said, we roped you in to helping us with the Alive study. And that study, just to give a little bit of context to it, is a study we've been wanting to do for a really long time, geared towards new believers and useful in church and community context where women are discipling new believers. And so we walk really through the whole journey of what it means to be a Christian. And you got to contribute to our week about identity. And specifically, one of the things that you wrote about is what it means to be a child of God. And we would love to hear you share about what that means to you and how that has informed other parts of your ministry.
Yeah, you know, first I just want to say it's a privilege to be a part of this study. I would have loved to have a resource like this, even as a new believer, but then also to be able to have a resource to walk with someone else. We know how important discipleship is, you know, that we're constantly growing as a Christian. We should be growing in our faith. And so First, just thank you for allowing me to be a part of this. You know, being a child of God is vital. You know, it is a vital truth that I think a lot of the times people may not understand. And so to be able to present it in, I think, kind of a stripped down means is so important. In 2020, I met my father for the first time. And before I met him, my mom sent me a picture of him. I didn't know his name. I didn't know anything about him. But as I was looking at this picture, I saw myself. You know, I saw features of mine, despite not knowing anything about him. And I think a lot of people are walking around like that, right? We've been made in the image of God, but we don't know him. And being a child of God, that, and this is the privilege that we have through Christ, that God, our creator, says, I want to actually have a relationship with you, my creation. Not only to just save you, but I actually want you to be in my family. Right. I'm going to be your father, and you're going to be my child. And you have this privilege of knowing the one in whose image you've been made. And, you know, the thing that I love about the passage that I was able to bring out was that this was God's doing, right? This is God pursued us in mercy so that we might be able to have a relationship with him. And so, yeah, so we don't have to be walking around in his image and not knowing him. Like, there is a way that he's made through Christ, through his death and through his resurrection and through the Holy Spirit to draw us to himself. And so, yeah, so that's why, yeah, I wanted to write about that concept because I just think it's so important and essential regarding who we are when we come to faith, that we're not only saved, but we are loved by a father, and we get to be his child. So,
yeah. I love that. Yeah. And you did an incredible job in the study of drawing on that relational aspect, which I think, you know, we all know if we've been a believer for a while is something that really is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. And I do think mm-hmm. that you did an incredible job for the new Christian woman of really helping her understand what tapping into that identity means, how that changes who we are, and just what it means to be loved like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really beautiful.
And what a like healing relationship that is for a lot of people who have maybe differing relationships with their earthly fathers, and how like there's that can be complicated for a lot of people to know that God is our father. And so I love that you wrote that session, because I think that you bring a lot of that awareness of the complications that can happen when we talk mm-hmm. about our father relationship with God, for sure. And so, yeah, I love how you phrased that of it's not only like saving you, but you get to be invited into like one of the most intimate relationships we can have, if not the mm-hmm. most intimate relationship of a family and a father to a daughter. And you also Absolutely. Wrote, you kind of touched a little bit on this, but you wrote about the idea that we are known by God. As you yeah. wrote about that topic, what are some things that you wanted to make sure women understood about the fact that we're known by God?
Mm. Yeah, I think, you know, generally speaking, not only does God, you know, he doesn't just say, I want to establish a relationship and then I'm going to forget about
right.
you, you know, like, it's like, you know, okay, yeah, we have this relationship. Now you just get on with it and you figure it out. It's like, mm-hmm. no, God, he knows us, right? He's intimately acquainted with us in all of our ways. And he's walking right there with us. He doesn't leave us alone. And so no matter what situation that we're experiencing, no matter what situation that you're experiencing, you know, God is there. He's right there, you know, in the midst of that difficult marriage, let's say, in the midst of you caring for your children and, you know, trying to figure out how do I do this well, you know, feeling overwhelmed. He's there, mm-hmm. you know, he's in the midst of, you know, your schooling, right? Trying to pass the test and figure out just, you know, he does life with us, you know. And I think that promise is a beautiful one that I know has sustained me, you know, so to be able to pull that out, I hope as an encouragement to say, you know, based on Psalm 139, that, you know, the Lord, he knows when you stand, he knows when you sit, he's right there with you. So let that sustain you, carry you, you know, and yeah, I think God is amazing. You know, like this is the creator of the universe, you know.
Yes.
Like he doesn't have to at all participate in our everyday life. He doesn't owe us anything. But in his mercy, he chooses to say, I want to lavish you with my presence and my love and my care.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, he knows. Tonight we're like, well, what am I gonna make for dinner? Like God, like he's in the midst, you know.
Yes.
What do I cook? You know, so all of those, whether the highs or the lows, you know, he's right there with us.
Share a little bit about how you feel that relational connection with him, just in regular day-to-day life, and all of the things you mentioned at the beginning that are a part of your day-to-day.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that I've learned, and I think most of my learning has been honestly in suffering, experiencing hardship, because I think sometimes in the midst of our hardship, that's when we realize we need God the most. The truth is, we always need God, right? Even on our happiest days, you know, God is sustaining us. But I think sometimes those trials just expose and make us aware of our neediness for God. And, you know, practically, I mean, just thinking through prayer, you know, like always being able to communicate with my Heavenly Father about anything, you know, about anything that's going on at any time. And, you know, scripture says his ears are attentive to the cry of his people. Like he is here listening and ready to respond. So that's been helpful, being able to go to his word, to open up the scriptures. If I have a question or I have, and not that the Bible answers every single question that we have, but the Bible points us to our greatest need, I think, which is our relationship with him. And so, you know, having those questions and trying to understand him more, trying to understand myself more, like how do I, in this sanctification process, which, you know, this process of wanting to look more like Jesus on the day to day, how do I depend upon God? And, you know, so to be able to have 66 books to go to, you know, where I can open up. That if I am suffering, like I could look at Job or Naomi or, you know, be encouraged by Christ, you know, or if I'm rejoicing, I could look at the Psalms and, you know, the Thanksgiving Psalms and praise the Lord, like that there's so much wisdom to pull from, that there's so many means of grace that the Lord has provided to say, you know, you can journey on, you know, you can journey on in this life and I'm not going to leave you alone. So I've given you my word. I've given you myself. I've given you my spirit, you know, to give you discernment, to help you walk this journey. I've given you the church, you know, I've given you brothers and sisters in Christ so that you're not isolated and just like trying to figure this out. You know, so I'm just grateful for a lot of those practical means that God has given. To help in my relationship with him and to help remind me that I'm known by him.
Yeah, and that we can know him too. I think that's such a that's part of that familial relationship. Not only does he know us, which can be kind of scary sometimes if you think about someone knowing you completely, but also he loves us and he's given us a way to know him in all those ways that you outlined there. I think that's a good reminder as well, because sometimes we can just be like, well, you know, God is so great and so mysterious, and you know, there's no way that we can know him, but he's given us all these tools for us to help know him, which is such a, I mean, just so kind of him to let us know him as much as he knows us. Yeah.
You guys just
That's
summed up
right.
the
It makes
study. This is so great. That's Alive in a nutshell. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say, if I could jump in, just to kind of piggyback on what you just said, it reminded me that you know, we're fully known by God. So he knows our heart. He knows, you know, all the gunky stuff, you know, in us, but he doesn't condemn us. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I think sometimes, you know, the fear is if I, you know, expose myself and I'm just totally vulnerable, what are people going to do with that information? God doesn't throw that information back at us and say, look at you, you know, like you're so horrible. No, he says, I've made a provision. I fixed your greatest problem. Do you know what I mean? Like, I fixed the issue that would hinder us from relating, but also that would make you feel that you would be condemned. And so, I don't know, that frees us up to be able to go to him with everything. Like, I don't have to hide. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to put on makeup or cosmetic, you know, to enter into your presence, because you know me fully. I'm fully exposed, and yet you care so well. You know, you are so caring and loving and concerned, and you've provided everything that I need. So I just love that freedom that we can have going to God, because it's so different than maybe even we may, like, what our experience potentially has been with going to other people. You know? He's so different.
Yes, I love that. And there's some quote that's very famous that I'm going to absolutely butcher. This is what I do on this podcast, is I'm like, somebody said this that's wiser than me, but to be fully known and not loved is terrifying, but to be fully loved and not known is something else, but to be fully loved and known is what God does for us. And I can't remember who said that, but we can Google it or something later. This conversation kind of reminds me of that, because not only does he fully know us, but he also loves us like a father to his child, because we are his children. And so that is such a complete picture of who God is and his relationship with us, and that he invites us into. So this Bible study is for the new believer.
It is. Yep.
It's kind of like a, okay, I'm now a Christian. What do I do with that? And so we've needed an answer to this, both for women who, like Laura said, are brand new believers, but also for the women in our churches that are trying to walk through that with another woman, like you were saying, a discipleship relationship. So, Blair, we would love to ask, what advice do you have for a woman, or encouragement? Maybe it's encouragement more than advice, for a woman who has just is a brand new believer. Somehow she's found this Mark podcast with Lifeway Women and she's listening in. Well, how would you encourage that woman?
Yeah, you know, I would say to that woman, I think we live in an age where there's just so much information and so many people talking, that sometimes it can make you feel like if you don't know things about the Bible or don't know things about God, that like somehow you've missed it, or somehow, you know, you're behind the curve. You know, all these people may seem to have had a head start. And one of the things I want to encourage you, and this is something that I did, even being raised in the church, you know, I made a profession of faith when I was 9, raised in the church. But when I was around 22, I realized that a lot of the things there were so many things that I had just assumed, maybe I didn't fully understand. And I was already doing some ministry in the church. So it almost felt a little bit, I don't know, shameful, you know, to admit that. But I said, I don't care what people think. I want to know God, and making that the aim, even if that means going back and saying, I want to make sure I understand the faith. I don't need to just have all of this like Christian jargon, you know, all of these large words. It's like, well, what does faith mean? You know, I had to go back and say, well, what is grace? You know, because we can just assume, I think, a lot of things, especially when we're raised in the church. So my thing is, forget about other people and what you think they know. And you just focus in on getting to know Jesus for yourself. And I say that to the person who maybe even has been walking with the Lord for a little while, you know? Take the time to just go back to the basics and let's review it. Let's make sure we understand this, because it's really important. So
I think about that with teaching kids Sunday school, when you're like, does anyone – it's. That's when I realized that I don't know the definition to any of these words that I've used for, you know, decades. And I'll be like, okay, does anyone know what righteousness means? And they're like, no. And I'm like, great, I don't either. let's move on. No, but trying to distill it into language that kids can understand. And then I realize, oh, maybe I don't fully understand this concept like I thought I did. I've been using this word I don't know what it means, like the Princess Bride quote. So I think that's a great word for anyone. Like you said, a brand new believer has never walked into a church before, as well as a seasoned believer who's maybe like, you know, I believe all of these things are true, but I don't fully have a knowledge of what it means to have an identity in Christ, or I don't know what does it mean that we're alive in Christ. Like, that doesn't, that's a weird concept that I don't know what that means. So yes, that's it. Very encouraging. And to not be ashamed that you don't know those things, because we've all been there at some point. And
that's right.
Yeah. I think that's a good word.
Yeah. I think, yes, I agree. And I think that it's helpful to remember that it doesn't matter at what point you ask these questions.
Right.
I took a couple of years off from working at Lifeway and being an editor, and was a children's director at our church. And it's incredibly humbling to realize that. I still tell people that working in children's Sunday school is the best way to hone your theology and how you talk about the Bible and what you know and believe about it. It really is true. Yes. Not the point of this podcast or why we're here today, but I do think that's true. And I do think that that's one of the things, you know, about this study, and I know we talked to you, Blair, when we first talked about working on this, is that it is we are hopeful that it will also educate the women that pick it up to walk with someone else through, that they'll also learn a lot and, you know, dig into scripture and realize, oh, I now can articulate those things that maybe I couldn't before, or I understand why we do these church practices that we didn't. And I think that that's, I'm so glad that you brought that up about your age or time as a Christian doesn't matter. It's the relationship and growing in your understanding. Yep. That's
what word of encouragement would you both, I would like to hear you both, for that woman who is like thinking, oh, I might want to go through this with someone else. I know like someone came to mind that I should mentor through this, or we should just meet for coffee and do this together because we're in different places, but I need a tool to help me to disciple them.
I think for me, I would say don't feel like signing up for this means you're the expert. You don't have to enter into that kind of discipleship partnership feeling like I've got to know all the answers, they're going to have a ton of questions, and that's terrifying. It doesn't need to be at all, and I think that the relational journey you all would take together would just be the most important and enriching part of the process, learning together, digging into scripture together. And one of the ways that we crafted the study is with someone newer to Bible study in mind. And so we talk through a lot of those things that, you know, may be stumbling blocks or fears in leading. We talk through them in there. And so, you know, our goal is to equip you to lead someone else and then get over some of those hurdles and not worry about them. So,
yeah. And I think just a real quick before we hear your answer, Blair, because I do want to hear that. But I, one thing that I wanted to add is we had people read this Bible study who were kind of newer to the faith or did not grow up in church, because we were very aware that those of us who work in this every day and we grew up in church, we just use words sometimes that are weird to everyone else. And so we wanted to make sure we didn't do that with this study. So I just wanted to throw that in, that if you do this study, we've taken as much care as we can possibly take to make sure that we're defining any of those weirder words, or that anybody can feel comfortable coming to this. Hopefully they don't feel like, oh, I had to have a base knowledge before. There were some prereqs that I missed out on before doing this study.
One of the most helpful things for me, and I'm we will get to Blair, I promise, but it just reminded me, one of the most helpful feedback pieces for me was that someone talked about a woman in their group, a group Bible study they had done, and they didn't understand that John wrote more than one book of the Bible. And so even in the way that we approach pointing people how to find a book of the Bible in this study, we've taken care of that because, you know, it's important to say Genesis is the first book, or there is a table of contents in your Bible. And so we really are trying to assume, assume very little in what women are bringing to this. So, your turn, Blair.
I forgot. I think a lot of the times there are women out there who really do want to disciple younger women or other women in the church, and they're just not sure where to begin. And I just think, you know, Alive makes it really easy for women to pick up this book. I think just my encouragement would be to just take that step of faith to ask a woman, can we read through this together? And I loved, you know, what you said about like, you don't have to have all the answers. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a process that we can go through together. And I think in that, the disciplee is going to learn. But the disciple learned, we learned so much too, right? You know, and so just taking that approach, I think, is what's most helpful. Not like either I have to have this all figured out or I do have this all figured out. You know, I think those can be barriers. But like, no, we don't have to have this all figured out. The goal is that we grow in our relationship with the Lord. And here's a means to do that. And let's do it together. So I think just take that first step. Ask that woman, would you be willing to read this book together with me? You know, and that takes a step of faith. But there are a lot of women who are waiting on that question. You know, they're waiting to see if you'll, you know, approach them. And so, yeah, Alive, I think, makes it really easy to start that relationship.
Yes, I think it gives you some good talking points, like you're saying. Like if you're intimidated by like a new believer is just like, would you disciple me? That can be very intimidating and good for her for asking. So I think this just gives you a tool to do that.
And I think, you know, not forgetting to be super prayerful.
Right.
And so with that in mind, if we all have these women on our hearts who we want to come to know the Lord. And so, Blair, I would love to hear from you what advice or encouragement for the woman who is grieving deeply for someone to come to know Jesus. What would you say to her?
For one, to pray. Do not discount praying for that person. But I also would say, I think it is important to ask, would you be willing to study a book with me? I think that, you know, I've seen there was someone in my life who said, I will not come to the Lord. I don't know about the Bible. I'm not sure about, you know, where I stand with Jesus. And I asked them, you know, would you be willing to just read? Actually, it was a book of the Bible with me. And they said, oh, well, yeah, I guess so. You know, and we were able to read through, actually, we read through the Gospel of John, and that person came to the Lord in that process. And so I think using this, you know, very similarly to say, would you go through this book of the, you know, this book with me? And if they're willing, I mean, who knows what the Lord may do, in that, you know, so, but also, even if they say no, continue to pray, continue to trust the Lord. One of the things that I love to pray, even if a person is not really receptive to me, I say, Lord, send them other Christians. Send them wherever they go, you know, send them, you know, Christians who will testify to your goodness, you know, in their life. And the Lord has done that. Like he's been faithful to answer that many times. So continue to be hopeful, prayerful. The story is not over. They're still alive. So continue, you know, to lift them up before the Lord.
I love that. And the thought of like, if it's not me, send someone else. And I think God definitely answers those prayers for sure. Okay, so we know how much words matter to you. You're in a safe place. We're all word nerds here on this podcast. But share with listeners what your relationship with God's word has been like over the years, and how you've seen his word shape the poetry and messages that he's given you.
Yeah, I would say that it's been different. You know, my relationship with God's word, in one sense, it's been the same, but I think it's looked different over the years, depending upon the season of life that I've been in, specifically having young children.
Changes
really
things.
changed. I feel like, you know, I remember when, you know, I was single, I'm like, I'm spending all this time in the Word. And then, you know, I had a child, like, wait, what's happening? Like, I feel like I have no energy. My mind, you know, can't really focus for a long period of time. Like, what's happening to me? And so I actually really press in a lot. With audio Bible, like I would listen to the word a lot when I had very young children, and so that was really helpful for me. You know, and I've learned over time that it's not so much I have to spend an hour, you know, I think we can become lawyers, you know, we can create these rules of like, you know, it has to be 2 hours, it has to be 1 hour, it has to be in the morning, I have to wake up at 4 in the morning, like, you know, and so we create all of these rules, and then when we don't meet them, we're disappointed, we're discouraged. And it's like, well, what is the goal? This is what I've had to con the conclusion of the matter is, you know, fear God and obey his commandments. You know, the conclusion is that it's really about us knowing God. And so, you know, whether your season, you know, in whatever the season of life that you're in, if that means, oh, I'm going to take 5 minutes, you know, you know, and I have this card and I'm memorizing a verse and meditating on this one verse. Or I have my lunch break and I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to eat, you know, and read the word. You know, for me, it's looked like, you know, being able to prioritize time. And a lot of times it'll be right at the beginning of my day after the kids are out. Mm-hmm. I no longer homeschool. So, you know, it was different when I homeschooled even my young kids. I incorporated into the curriculum, you know.
There you go.
So we would have Bible as a part of the curriculum. But then one of the things I realized too was, I remember later on in the day when I would get the nudge, you know, like, oh, I could spend some more time in the Word. It's like, well, I've already spent time, you know, and the Lord like had to encourage me that, you know, all of my time is God's time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I've spent my hour in the Word or I've spent those 20 minutes in the Word. And so now I can live the rest of my day for myself. I think it's being in tune with the Holy Spirit that if, you know, we're led, you know, at, you know, 8 o'clock to open up the Word again, we can do that again. You know, we can pray during the day. You know, we can seek the Lord throughout the day. So that's more so, I think, what my time, I don't know if that's clear. Mm-hmm. I said a whole lot.
No, that's great. Yeah.
You know, I think it looks like, yes, preserving a specific time to get into the Word with the Lord. But then also when I'm driving to go pick up my kids, a lot of the times I am listening to the audio Bible, or I am listening to like a crisp, there's an app that I like to listen to, and they'll read scripture and have sermons, you know, or during the evening where our kids will gather around and have family worship together, you know, so not just, I have my 10 minutes, you know, mm-hmm. so that's it. I think just learning to walk with Jesus throughout the day, rather than, just putting guardrails and saying like, here's the time, no other time can I engage with God. And so, so it's been much more like a relationship, you know, like much more, I think, easygoing. And even I remember going through like a Bible reading plan, for example. A lot of times people get stuck on like Exodus, you know, and then they just give up. So I think a lot of the times our own expectations hinder us from our goal. Mm-hmm. Their ultimate goal is to know God and spend time in His Word. But then when we don't meet our standards, it just halts everything. And so I think changing our goal, my goal is to know God. It's not, oh, I just need to get through, because it's like, even if I skip Exodus, you know,
right.
I mean, eventually, Lord willing, we'll get to Exodus.
Yes.
But even if I just keep going because I'm struggling with this book,
right.
just keep going. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so, so that's my encouragement. Just keep going. And what was the second part you asked about spoken word?
How did how does God's word shape your poetry and your writing, and things like that? The way that you, the skills that God has given you.
When I first started writing poetry, I was 9 years old. When I was around 17, I said, I really want to focus in on incorporating scripture in my poetry, because I was, I don't know, maybe at 17, kind of thinking through what really matters. You know, I'm writing about a lot of things that are important, but what's the most important thing? And so I started incorporating scripture. Well, I didn't come to the Lord where I fully understood what Christ had done and how it was personal to me until I was 22. When I was 22, I remember thinking, well, I've done all of these, I've used these gifts for myself, you know, like this really hasn't been about God. So I don't need to do anything. I don't want to write another poem. I just want to know God, you know?
Yes.
Well, of course God has work for us to do. He's given us gifts to use. And so when I had an opportunity next, I just journaling, wrote down my testimony through poetic form. And I thought, I really want to communicate very clearly, not only eternal truths, but I want to communicate the gospel. I want that to kind of be the central message, because it's transformed my life. Mm-hmm. My whole life has been changed as a result of understanding the gospel message. And so since 22, that's what my aim has been, specifically with poetry. It doesn't mean I won't write about other things, but my primary goal is to be able to communicate very clearly what Christ has done and the impact that that can have in our life. And I've been privileged to be able to do that all over. And the Lord just keeps opening doors. And so I'm grateful. When I said, like, I never need to do another poem ever again, you know, and then a church asked me, would you come and do a poem? You know, yes. And I was like, okay. And I went and did that poem, and the Lord just kept opening doors, and so it's a privilege to be able to not sit on the gift,
right?
You know, but to trust God in the midst of using the gifts, you know, for His glory, Lord willing, for His glory. So that's kind of how it's all.
Yeah, unfolding. I love hearing that, and I think women will be encouraged no matter what their kind of gift is. Like, how can I do this for the glory of God? How can I incorporate what really matters into my gifts and talents. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're super grateful for you and your ministry and the words that the Lord has given you. And yes. You're just continuing, yes, to say yes to the opportunities He's putting in front of you. It's a joy to partner with you in that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, this is the Marked podcast. So the question we ask each of our guests is, what is one thing that has marked you in your walk with Christ?
That has marked me. I would say I am a testament to God's faithfulness. You know, I would say that's really marked my life. It's been the Lord and His faithfulness and His sustaining strength in my life. He has carried me through, you know, and so I've just been grateful for His love, you know, His mercy, His faithfulness towards me. I think it's just evident in all of the, like I said, the ups and the downs that we experience. You know, even as I shared in 2020, meeting my biological father for the first time, you know, you go through some things that you never expected to. I never thought, you know, that that would be a part of my story. But God knew my story from the beginning. And He was determined and is determined to say, I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to be your strength. I'm going to provide everything that you need to endure, Lord willing, to the end. So, yeah, I'm grateful. God's faithfulness.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that and for being here today on the podcast. Thank you, Laura, for co-hosting with me.
Anytime.
And listeners,
Laura.
Yes. Listeners, we will have links to the Alive study. We'll have links to all the things we talked about on today's episode. And we would love for you to get the Alive study and do it yourself or do it with a friend or someone in your church. And we think it's a great tool, and we're excited to see what God does with that and through that. And we're so grateful for writers like Blair who lend their talents and their gifts to writing this study with us. And we're so excited for that study to be out in the world.
We are.
Yes.
Very excited.
Yes. So thank you for listening today, and we will see you next week. Marked is a production of Lifeway Podcast, produced by Aaron Franklin. It's recorded at the Lifeway Podcast Studios and engineered by Donnie Gordon. Edited by William Hall, with art by Leanne Dan. And I'm your host, Elizabeth Hyman. Meet me back here next week. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can find us on social media at Lifeway Women. Today's show notes will be posted at lifewaywomen.com/marked. If you enjoy the show, leave us a review. It's hard to know a God we don't understand, and it's hard to love a God we don't know. But our God wants to be known and loved, and He's told us a lot about Himself in the pages of His Word, particularly that He is a three-in-one God. Although it is a crucial and classic Christian teaching, understanding the Trinity can be intimidating at first, but it doesn't have to be. Join best-selling author, Bible teacher, and podcaster Tara Lee Cobble as she walks you through the triune nature of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in her new book, The Joy of the Trinity. As you turn each page, you'll discover a beautiful, foundational view of the Trinity that will not only inform how you relate to God, but give you a deeper intimacy and greater joy in knowing Him. Order your copy today wherever books are sold.